In the Bible, in Joel 2:28, the prophet Joel says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the Bible says that Peter boldly stood up and addressed the crowd and proclaimed that that prophecy that Joel said has been fulfilled at that very time. Men and women in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. Prophecy has happened throughout the rest of that time. Some of you may be thinking, well, what is prophecy? Well, prophecy is whenever God gives the person a word that he wants to proclaim to the individual. So God speaks through the person who's given the word of prophecy for them to take it. We have experienced that in this church in different ways. But today we have someone who is a prophet that's going to speak. And Ashlyn is a great friend of mine, and she's here today to give us a word. Also, her friend Hope Hitchcock is going to come up as well. And Ashlyn is an international speaker, a spiritual mentor, a writer, and the minister of the Word of God. She is from Argentina. She has ministered in Argentina, Costa Rica, Panama, Nigeria, South Africa, Uruguay, Colombia, Venezuela, Chile, Uruguay, Ecuador, Brazil, the United States, and now Italy. She is known for her strong prophetic gift, and she sees the prophetic ministry as supernatural encouragement, and that's what prophecy is. She has a master's degree in project management, a theological degree with the Assemblies of God in Argentina, and she is also an alumni for Christ for the Nations in Dallas, and she's presently working at Christ for the Nations at the Evangelism Department and Student Ministries. I'm going to ask Ashlyn to introduce Hope. But would you please welcome Ashlyn first?
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure for me to be here this morning. I have great expectations of the Holy Spirit to be poured out in this place in our life. I want to thank the invitation of Sean. We met last July. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be here. I was here when he was commissioned as a senior pastor. We were coming back from a trip from San Antonio. We were preaching, but we stopped here a little bit late, but we got to be here, and I'm a witness of what the Lord is doing in his life and how the Lord is preparing him, how the Lord is being faithful. So I believe that this morning is going to be a very special moment, not because I'm here as a guest speaker, just because the Spirit of the Lord is here. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. I just feel in my spirit before we move into, I want to introduce my friend Hope in a moment, but I feel in my spirit that so many of you have been fighting for a very long time, and I hear the Lord saying that there is peace coming your way. There is peace coming your way. Every battle in your mind is over, and I feel the Lord saying, I'm really doing a new thing. And you will see it. You will see it. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a turnaround in your situation. And I just hear the Lord say, do not live from past glory. So many people live from what he has done last year, from what he has done last Sunday. But I feel in my spirit that today he has a new portion. Your cup will never be dry if you are thirsty. He said, whoever is thirsty, come and ask me. I have the living waters. And you will not be thirsty anymore. There's living waters coming out from him this morning, ready for you, individually for you. I want about Hope to come up for. She's my friend. She will live together. And if you want somebody to like get to know you and like speak about you, who you are, ask your family or ask the people who live with you. And I get the pleasure and the privilege to live with her. We're roommates, we're friends, we just came back from Europe. We've been ministering in Sweden. We saw so many things that pouring. God is raising up a church. We came back from Mardi Gras, New Orleans, where we preached the gospel. There were like 1 million people, young people, there to party and just to drink in this environment of drunkenness. The Lord used us to bring the message of salvation. We took students from Christ for the Nation, who were 103 students. and we hit the streets. The Lord used us with the gift of prophecy, with the gift of healings. We saw almost 200 people receiving Christ. I'm telling you, 3 weeks ago, we saw 27 people being filled by the holy fresh fire. I got the privilege to preach to a lady. She was completely drunk. She was completely like she was. And then people said, why are you going to pray to her? I mean, she might not understand it, but I feel in my spirit. And you know, every seed is worth it. When you preach the gospel, when you preach about what Jesus has done in your life, every seed is worth it. If you believe in Jesus, you will see. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe in Jesus, if you just believe, you will see the glory of God. It might be a crazy thing to do it, but if you dare to believe the Lord, He's faithful to produce the fruit. Some people sow and some people reap, but it's He that produced the fruit. But anyway, I got the privilege to preach to this lady. She was completely wrong. She was completely drunk. And the moment we preached the gospel, and then I went ahead and asked her, can I pray for you? She kind of say, yeah. She kind of say like, yeah. So we pray for her. After we pray for her, she got filled with the holy fresh fire. I'm telling you, she wasn't speaking in tongues, but she went completely sober. And I asked her, what? Do you understand what just happened? And she looked at me and she said, yes, I accept Jesus in my heart and I feel different. She began to speak, I mean, in a clear way. Anyway, that's just a few, many testimonies what the Lord's, we experienced almost 20 miracles, tangible miracles, people being healed from pain in their back, just so many crazy things. But anyway, we just came from that. Yesterday we've been preaching in Arkansas, and we were in a church there. We saw the kids being just wrecked by the Holy fresh fire, and we are so glad to be here. So all that to say that I walk with Hopi. She's my friend, and we walk in ministry. So it's my honor just to introduce her and very quickly. Could you come up forward? Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm gonna do this really quickly. So my name is Hope, and sorry, I'm a little sick. I've been sick for a week now. So
healing.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say, I really have experienced just the love of God. And I just want to encourage you guys that there's so much more than just hearing the words, Jesus loves you. And there's so much of a deeper level of the love of God. And you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Lord is a God that romances us, and He pursues our hearts. And I know that every single one of us is at a different level with the Lord, is at a different place with the Lord. And there may be grief, there may be sadness, there may be hurt, there may be pain, but whatever it is, the Lord has the desire to pursue our hearts, and He has the desire to come in, and He has the desire to heal our hearts. And it says in Ezekiel 16, verse 6 through 14, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, and when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. I just wanted to say that when the Lord rescues you and you're naked and you're bare and you're vulnerable and there's blood all over you, the Lord comes and He washes that blood off, and He takes you and he grows you and he shapes your heart and he forms you.
Yes.
And then it says he looked and he saw you again. And this time, because you were fully matured, because you were mature, the Lord came in and he says, now I'm going to romance you. Now I'm going to pursue you. Now I'm going to pursue your heart. I'm going to treat you as a wife. I'm going to show you what it looks like to be a wife. I'm going to show you what it looks like to be a husband. Because the Lord satisfies every desire. He satisfies every need. And he says, I'm coming and I'm making an oath with you. I'm coming and I'm making a covenant with you. I want you to be my bride. I'm not kidding when I say, when I give the representation of Jesus and the church. He wasn't kidding. God doesn't joke like that. He means it. He means every word of it. And I'm telling you today that you can take that and you claim that for yourself. There is an intimate experience that you can have with the Lord. And you can be fully, fully satisfied in Him. When you are fully satisfied in Him, everything fades away. The desires of your heart are fulfilled because your eyes are completely on Jesus.
Amen.
And He's come and He's taken His wing and covered you with His love.
Amen.
That's His desire for you.
Amen.
There's so much more. And I feel like the Lord is saying, just come. Just come to me.
Yes.
Just come and lay down your burdens. Come and lay down your pain. And receive my healing. Come and receive my rest.
Yes.
Don't hold back anymore. God sees your heart, Ruth. He sees your heart and He wants so badly to come in and take care of you.
Jesus.
He wants to take care of you, Ruth. The pain that you're going through, Jesus died for that, Ruth. He died for that. And He's saying, come. Come to me. Don't hold back anymore.
Him.
Don't hold back anymore. Lay your pain before me. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry.
Amen.
You know, He counts your tears, Ruth.
Amen.
He counts your tears.
Amen.
He's counting your tears. Every tear that you cry, He counts them.
Amen.
He holds them in a bottle. Because He values you. He values you.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of what the Lord can do in your life.
Amen.
He's going to satisfy you.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how old or how young you are, He will satisfy every need. Every want that you have, the Lord knows that. You don't have to neglect your wants. Did God ever ask you to say, to neglect them? No, He never did. He's a God of satisfaction.
Amen.
He is a God of desire and of love and of peace and of healing and of grace.
Amen. Amen.
Please don't hold back from what God can do in you and through you.
Amen.
He's so much bigger than your circumstances. He's so much bigger than your pain.
Amen.
He's so much bigger than your pain. He's so much bigger than your pain. And He wants you to know that.
Amen. I feel in my spirit, I'm going to go to the Word in a very few. I have like 20 minutes left. But I really believe that we are a team. I was a pastor in Argentina and I came to the United States because the Lord spoke to me that He was going to use me to bring a revival and awakening to the nations. And the Lord, I had a vision and the Lord spoke to me that United States sent a lot of seeds to the nations, a lot of missionaries, a lot of evangelists to the nations, to Africa, to Oceania, to South America, to Europe, but that now is the time for those seeds to come back. In other words, for the harvest to come back to America. And the Lord spoke to me like he's ready to use up a generation. The time for one man show is over. God wants to use you. So today's message is called, There is a Calling in My Life. Can you repeat after me? There's a calling in my life. There is a calling in my life. Before getting into the message, when Hopi was talking, the Lord said to me that he's breaking up generational curses. What your mama had, what your dad had, your sons will not get to have. The Lord spoke to me that he's setting free so many people from anxiety and depression this morning. Anxiety and depression. Panic attack, he's setting you free. Pain in your head. Headaches, he's setting you free right now. Blood pressure, blood issues, he's setting you free. He's the healer. He said the word and healed them. He's setting you free. The healing anointing is flowing this morning. Pain in the back and pain in the knees, he's healing you. He's healing you. And also hear the Lord saying, Pastor Sean, do not despise the small beginnings. Because I feel like the Lord is saying there is multiplication coming. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I feel in my spirit that Jesus is taking over this community. And I feel that there's coming a growth and multiplication for this community as you have never seen before. The Bible says that he has prepared things that we have never seen before, that we have never heard before, that we have never imagined before, and that he's able to do more abundantly, beyond and above what we can ever pray or imagine. And I feel that the Lord is saying, get ready, church. Get ready, pastor, because what I'm going to do is so much greater than what you can ever see or imagine or pray or believe for. I'm ready to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And I feel the Lord saying, there's a time that is coming. There's a time that is coming that I'm going to influence this community. This community is going to be affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I feel like the Lord is raising up a generation who will be not compliant, who will not be compliant into the world, but they're going to go forward and say yes to the calling of God in the life to preach the gospel. The Bible says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And I feel this morning, and I'm sorry I'm speaking too fast, but I really feel in my spirit that the Lord is going to pour out a new level of anointing, a new level of oil over all of us. Even in those chairs empty, the oil of God is flowing for you to go to the streets, for you to go outside and preach the gospel. Are you with me? If you believe, can you give a clap to the Lord? Can you just celebrate the Lord? Thank you. Amen. Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you please open your Bible in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It's right there. That's amazing. Many of you know this verse. Today's message is called, There is a Calling in Your Life. There is a calling in your life. The Bible says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. In another translation says, For I know the plans that I have for you. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Another translation says, plans and purposes of good and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. The Bible talks about that we are created by his image. That we were created by him. The Bible says that we are sons and daughters of the living God. The Bible says that we belong to God. The Bible says that in the book of Jeremiah as well, says before I was in chapter 1, I don't have the scripture, but it's okay. The Bible says that he sanctified us. See, he made us holy even before we committed any sin. He said, For I knew you. I put your name. I holify you. Even before you were in your mother's room, in your mother's womb, I have plans for you. Yes. I have even before. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the timing of the Lord. And in the book of Ecclesiastes says there is time to sleep, there is time to be alive, there is time to laugh, there is time to mourn. But it talks about that there is eternity in the heart of the people. Without the people know what God is going to do from beginning till the end. So there is eternity inside of us.
Right.
I want to share a story from the Bible very quickly. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. But this is... There's a man called Elkanah. I'm just going to paraphrase, and I mean, as you can roll the scripture, so we make it a little bit faster. There's a man, how many of you know the story of Hannah? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. There's a man called Elkanah. Elkanah, the Bible says that he has two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. The Bible says that Peninnah couldn't have kids, but Hannah, Peninnah had kids, but Hannah couldn't have kids. Because the Lord has closed her womb. So he was depressed. She didn't eat. She was crying constantly. She was crying all the time. According to the law of God given by Moses, Elkanah has to go at least one time per year to offer sacrifice before the Lord as an expiation for their sins. This is before Christ came to the earth as the Holy Lamb that occupied that place for us. But we're talking about the old covenant. So in this moment, he was taking his two wives, all his family. He was going into this place called Shiloh. And the Bible says that Hannah was suffering because she had a calling. She had a dream. She had a desire. And the desire that she has was to be a mother. And the Bible says that Elkanah asked her Hannah, four questions. It says, Hannah, why are you crying? The second question, Hannah, why are you not eating? The third question, why is your heart troubled? In other words, why are you sad? And the fourth question that Elkanah asked his beloved wife is, Hannah, I am not better to you than 10 sons. Listen, you can have the best husband. You can have the best wife. You can have the best boss. You can have the best pastors, but if you don't fulfill the calling of God in your life, you will feel frustrated. There is a calling of God. There is plans of God. There is purposes of God that he has put inside of you. There is eternity inside of you.
Amen.
Anna had a dream to be a mother, but she never expected that out of that dream to be a mother, she made a covenant with God. She said, God, I surrender. You know that I desire this so bad. You know that I desire. She thought that it was her dream to be a mother. But actually, it was God's plans inside of her.
Yes.
Because she didn't imagine. I mean, she made a promise. She made a covenant with God. She said, if you give me a son, I will give it to him all of his days. And will not nobody will cut the hair. You know? They will not be shaved in their hair. I will give it to him every day. If you give me, I will give it to you. She made a covenant with God. She understood that it wasn't about her only desire. She understood that everything was about God. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God, when you put God in the beginning, he's able, if you search his kingdom and everything that he is, he's able to do it for you. He will add everything that is needed. But put God first. So she made a covenant. And she named her son Samuel as a prophet of God. But what she never knew, she never expected in her mind that Samuel was going to be a prophet. And Samuel was going to be anointing the next king. Was going to anoint King David. And from King David was born Jesus Christ. I'm here to prophesy over you that behind every dream that you have, behind every desire that you have, God is going to bless the next generations. You might think it's your dream. You might think it's just a desire. But those desires are put by God inside of you. It's not impossible. For God, there's nothing impossible. But I feel in my spirit that there are so many callings that God wants to awaken today.
Amen.
How many of you believe that you have a calling? How many don't believe that you have a calling? Okay, nobody raised their hand, that's good. Everyone believes that they have a calling. I need 3 volunteers, very quickly, 3 volunteers. Oh, nobody's here.
Wow.
Hey, come on. I need more, 2 more. 2 more. Okay, Hopi and Christine. Would you please take a bag and lift it up here and open each one of the bags? If you believe in Jesus, will you give Jesus a clap? If you believe that there are plans for good and not for evil, will you give God a clap? Amen. All right, here we are.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What's your name, honey?
Delilah.
Woo, that's a nice name. What do you see right there? Just very quickly, because I want you to describe. What do you see?
A blanket and a thing for your neck on the plane.
For a plane. Okay, she had a good vision. Well, for the plane, not for the bus. Not for the car, for the plane. Okay, that's good. Okay, Hopi, come on here. What do you see right there?
It's empty.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
Okay.
I'm positive.
Christina, what do you see right there?
I see books, a journal, treasure chest, shoes, and plastic.
Okay. Is all this yours?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Oh, she's positive. Okay. Thank you. So we have 3 bags right here. 3 suitcases. There is a calling in your life. So these 3 suitcases, you might not be able to see it, but the suitcase number 1, there's a pillow and there's blankets. There are people. This suitcase represents people that they believe that they have a calling, but they are sleeping. That they believe that someday God talked to them. Someday somebody prophesied over them. There was some time where they have an experience with Jesus, that Jesus spoke to them so many promises, but they believe that they are too old to fulfill. They believe that they don't have time, and they're sleeping. It feels like they live in the past. It feels like they need to be awakening. It feels like, yes, I have a promise, but I'm not activated, or I'm in my comfort zone, and I'm not going to take a risk to believe God and fulfill the calling that He has set me apart for. These people represent those kind of people that are living. They're completely sleeping. They don't want to live in the fruit of the Spirit. They don't want to live. They have a compliance spirit. They're tired. They're exhausted. Are you with me?
Yes.
The second suitcase is empty. When I asked Christina, I said, are you sure it is empty? She said, yes, it's empty. I'm positive. The second suitcase represents the people that believe that they don't have a calling, that they have nothing to offer. That they don't believe in themselves. That they don't believe that something good could come up out of them. They believe that they're not good enough. They believe that they compare each other. And they said, okay, I'm not good enough. If I compare with her, she has a better gift. She has a better future. I have nothing to give. I'm empty. I failed before. Look at my past. Look what I've done to me. Look the mistakes I made. Look what they have done to me. Look all the past. I have nothing to offer. I'd rather God use somebody else instead of me. I prefer just to see the glory of God, but from far, the kind of person don't want to open up because they're afraid to be rejected, so they reject themselves first. The kind of person that don't believe that something could come out of them. Maybe because of their family context, maybe because of rejection. Maybe because of this baggage of lies that they have been living for so many times, for so many years. The third suitcase is random stuff. She says shoes, books, plastic things, and, you know, memories. The third suitcase represents the kind of people that live from past memories. They represent the kind of people that if you ask them, what is the Lord speaking to you today? They say, oh, in 1992, the Lord gave me a word. But what about today?
That's good.
They live from past glories. They live for somebody else's calling. They live for somebody else's dream. They live for the mama dream. They live for the daddy dream. They live for the soul dreams. But they're not able to believe in God for themselves. They believe, okay, because Pastor Sean is the pastor. Sean is the pastor. Okay, let him do the thing. But I don't want to come here to the church to clean the church or to offer myself because I believe that I need to do somebody else for somebody else. The third circuit represents people that are not able to take risks as well. And they leave always to please people. But they don't want to please the Lord. They don't want to say, God, yes, I say yes. I dare to believe in you. And I say yes. I give you my life to you, God. And I say yes. I say yes. So today I represented three bucks. And I told you the story of Hannah. She dared to believe in the Lord that she had a calling. In the beginning, it might be a little bit difficult. In the beginning, it might be impossible. In the beginning, you might be so far away. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, in part we know and in part we prophesy. In part we know we don't have to see the whole picture. When I gave my life to the Lord when I was 16 years old, well, I got baptized when I was 11, but when I was 16 years old, I had that kind of encounter with Jesus that changed my life from the inside out. The reason believers, beloved, the reason that we are sometimes struggling so bad, we're in depression, we are in anxiety, we are in this kind of things, is because we need a new baptism of the holy fresh fire. That's the reason why we're, because the anointing of God will make you slippery when the storm comes, when the temptation comes. The anointing of God will make you slippery. So the disappointments, the failures, the lies, it make you slippery. When you have the anointing of God, when you have the Holy Spirit, who is the counselor, who is the teacher, who is your best friend, he's the teacher who's pushing you, he's giving you the grace, the anointing, the oil to fulfill your calling. You need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. The Bible says, if you wait for the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive the power. Amen. You need the power to fulfill your calling.
Right.
So many times we want to fulfill our calling, but we are weak and we do it in our own strength. And God says, I want to do it in your life through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it is better for me to leave because somebody else is coming that's going to be with you, that is not going to leave you, that is going to fill you with authority, with the power, with the counseling.
Yes.
With the revelation.
Yes.
Come on, Jesus.
Yes.
I have a quick testimony, but the person in the computer is not there. No? It's okay. Never mind. Christina, will you please come? I want to be honoring in the time, but I believe, yeah, it's okay, I'm hungry, I want to, all right, yes, hopefully they invite me again, just kidding, I want to be honoring in the time. I was born in a dysfunctional family. I don't know about you, but I went through this kind of three suitcases. I went through this kind of suitcase. I believe that I was sleeping. For so many years, my calling was sleeping. For so many years, my dream was sleeping. I believe that God couldn't do it, or that God would take forever to do it. It is not for me to determine the times. It is for me to say yes to the Lord. I was the kind of person, too, that I believed that nothing good could come out of me because my dad was a drug addict. My dad was an alcoholic. But today, my dad is Christian, and he's not only Christian, he's a pastor of a church. I believe that God restores families. Yes, he wants to restore your sons. He wants to restore your daughters. He wants to restore your cousins, your aunts, all your family. There's a promise in the Bible that says you and your whole house will be saved. You got to base that in your promise. All right, here we have. A couple of years ago, I said yes to the Lord. I said, God, send me. Where nobody wants to go. Yes, I visited so many countries, but in this country, I went to Nigeria when they persecuted the Christian church, where they burned the communities. One day I remember that I was preaching in a church like this, and days later they destroyed and they killed everything there. So we went there to reinforce the Christian church, but also to preach to the Muslim communities. When I was there, I saw so many miracles. That if I see you, you wouldn't believe. I'm telling you, tumors being exploded in my hands. People rich and begin to walk. I'm telling you, he wants to do what he reveals. He wants to do it. He sent the word and healed me. If you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have everything you need. You've been anointed. You've been set apart. You've been carrying the oil of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the commission in your life. He wants to do it in your life. But after seeing so many miracles and so many signs and wonders, and I'm telling you, after seeing all that, next slide, please. Go one more time. Go. I got sick. The last few days before going to Argentina, I got sick. Fever, stomachache. I couldn't walk. I was feeling like I was dying. I couldn't even move my finger. I got to the plane. They checked the temperature in the plane, and the fever disappeared, so I could get into the plane. When I got into the plane, the fever came up. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Otherwise, they gave me, and they put me in a hospital in Nigeria. But when I was on the bed, I was literally like, bye. When I went to Argentina, I went to the hospital and they said to me, they ran some exams and they said, you have Ebola. So they put me on this capsule. They were running blood test exams every 4 or 5 hours. They said that I was a dangerous person to my country. All the media were outside the hospital waiting to report my death. The Pope in Rome knew about my case. The president knew about suddenly all the media were outside the hospital. Talking about the missionary that went to do missions in Nigeria. The crazy lady, blonde lady from Argentina. I say yes to the Lord. When I was in that capsule, they were running exams and said, God, where are you? Why are you punishing me? I gave you my life, I gave you my youth. I say yes. I've seen miracles. But why are you forsaking me? I went through those difficult moments. It's not easy to say yes. The Bible says it's not going to be easy. The Bible says in the world you have affliction. In the world there's going to be pain. You will suffer. But do not be afraid. The suffering will produce a good thing. Will produce character. Will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Patience. He said in the world you have afflictions. But do not fear. I'm with you. I am with you. So to my surprise, I was there 3-4 days. And I said, God, you can take away my ministry. If you want, you can take away my calling. You can take away my family. You can take away my job. You can take away everything. But do not take your presence from me. Do not take the oil from me. If you leave me, I have nothing. If you have Jesus, you have it all. I'm telling you, Jesus is all you need. He who sees the Son sees the Father. He who sees the Son sees the Father. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. This wolf, there's eternity in Jesus. There's abundance in Jesus. On the fourth day, go. Next one, please. Next. Go for it. Okay, on the fourth day, new results came back. And I was completely free. I had nothing. Everything has disappeared. Everything has disappeared. And then, to my surprise, till today, this happened 3-4 days. 3-4 years ago, to my surprise, I went to channel after channel, TV shows, radios. I became kind of a celebrity in my country, in South America. They were asking me, why did you go to Nigeria? And I said, I went to preach about the one who heals. I went to preach about the ones who love humanity. I went to preach about Jesus Christ. And if you accept Jesus today, he's able to do more abundantly. He's going to give you life. He's going to transform you. He's going to forgive you. And I use that to preach the gospel. So your test will become a testimony. Your test will become a testimony if you dare to believe in God. Thank you so much. Thank you. We're good. Thank you. Could somebody repeat after me? Everything.
Everything.
Would you stand up, please? And could I have some help helping with this? Thank you. Could somebody repeat after me? Everything. Okay, it was only Pastor Sean. Come on, say everything. Outside of me is prepared for me to fail. But everything, say it as you believe it, everything give me the victory. In Jesus' name. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things in Christ who has strengthened me. As we worship, and I'm going to ask Christina to lead us in a song, I want to, for these few minutes, I want to invite everyone to come to the altar. I want to pray for you. And especially, I want to pray for your calling to be awakening. I want to pray for those dreams that God has deposited inside of you. So I want to invite everyone to come to the altar. And let's say yes to the Lord. Let's say yes. I don't care which kind of suitcase you are in. Maybe you're living for somebody else. Maybe you feel like you have nothing to offer. Maybe you're sleeping. Maybe you know you're calling, but you know that you're losing an opportunity. You know that you're losing every day. So I want to invite to come as you feel led from the Holy Spirit.